What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, welcome in. It's Red Sox Review. Brought to you by Nissan. Kickstart your summer with Nissan. These offers are going fast at the Nissan Summer Sales Event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. I'm rebranding Red Sox Review tonight. It is now Celtics Group Therapy. That is what we're doing tonight. Red Sox Review. If you want to call in and talk about this Red Sox game, Sox lose on a Garrett Crochet start 4-2 to Chris Sale. It was awful. That was an awful Red Sox game. It really was. Crochet deserved much, much better than that, and even he gave up back-to-back home runs in the second inning, but it was very good other than that, scattered some hits. The bullpen implodes, the base running was a total joke, another night with no real clutch hitting to speak of, and another loss, and now they've lost four in a row. But really, what we got to talk about here is the Boston Celtics going out with a whimper. I mean, there's no other way to put it. This has been an absolute mess tonight. And I expected it to be tough. I said this before the guy, you know, Andy and Ted and Fitzy were all gung-ho about this big win and how the Celtics are going to roar back and Brown was going to have 40 points at the half and blah, 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 blah. The Celtics didn't even have 40 points at the half. The Celtics had 37 points at halftime as a team. As a team. Jaylen Brown had 18 of them. Of their 37, I repeat, points. There's 8:22 left in the fourth quarter, and I can't imagine anybody's still watching this. So this is your spot, all right? This is your spot to react to this game and to react to this season and the series and everything else. Because I'll tell you, this is about as embarrassing of a way to go out as I can remember for the Celtics. This is right up there in terms of all-time Boston sports collapses, and I'm not going to blame Jason Tatum's injury on this. They were down 3-1 basically when Tatum got injured. Down 9 with a couple of 3 minutes left to play. They were losing that game with or without Jason Tatum. It was nice they showed a little life in Game 5 at home and didn't do this at TD Garden. Oh, my God. Imagine if this was the last thing the home fans all saw. The fact that we're seeing them go out like this at all is pretty sad. And when I say sad, I mean like Bailey Shireman's in the game right now. Torrey Craig's getting minutes. Xavier Tillman, I think, just checked in. Like this is a massacre. This reminds me of some of like the great Celtics beatdowns, like when they beat the Sixers in 2003. I want to say in the first round, and they had that crazy game 5 where they were just raining shots all over the place. They beat Iverson Sixers by like 50 points. or in the finals against Kobe's Lakers when they won that series and they just destroyed them at the end. It's like that, but now we're getting a taste of it. Now the Celtics are taking their lumps. And I don't really know that I'm not sure. I didn't say that I thought they were going to get blown out, but I thought they had a very uphill to climb here with this game and this team and sort of everything else. The Knicks took a good punch from them the other night, but I wasn't of the belief that that was a easily replicable type of performance. And for guys like Jrue Holiday and especially Derek White, White came out in the second half, hit a couple of threes, and then disappeared again. I mean, it was really, as far as those guys are concerned, Jrue Holiday, 30 minutes, 1-for-8 shooting. Derek White, 30 minutes, 3-of-11 shooting, 2-for-8 from three. Derek White was a minus 45. That's got to be a career high. Al Horford, a minus 33. Jrue Holiday, minus 34. And Jaylen Brown, who was your best player by far, 8 of 20, 20 points in 32 minutes on 8 of 20 shooting, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 turnovers, and he fouled out in the third quarter. This was horrific. Really, it was a horrific showing. And I don't know where the Celtics go from here. I'm not sure exactly what the next move is. I feel like this is the type of loss that if Tatum was injured in the last series and didn't play at all in this series, you could maybe justify sort of how you feel about it. But knowing that this was going to be their fate even with Tatum, and I guess you don't know that for sure, but they were down 2-0. They lost the first two games at home, blowing 20-point leads with Jason Tatum very much in the lineup. And in some ways, in every way, I find those opening games more offensive than I find this year tonight. Like, this sucks, obviously. But this was the last gasp of a team that lost their leader. (617) 779-7937 is the phone number. 6.5 minutes left. Once the game's over, I'll give way to John Lyons, and he'll talk with you for the rest of the night. But all I can really say here is that, you know, for most of the year, it's been a tough year. The Bruins had a brutal year. The Patriots, I mean, it was last year into this year, but still, just awful. The 4-win season, they fire their coach after 1 year. The Red Sox, not doing great so far. And now the Celtics, who I think a lot of people just kind of assume, all right, well, you know, a lot of other teams are in the middle of a rebuild. Expectations were high for the Red Sox. It's been sort of a disappointment, but I guess going into the season, there was some hype and excitement. That's been muted lately, I would say. The Bruins, it happened over the course of the season. The Patriots, it just went worse than we all thought. We all expected that the Celtics would carry the day. I did. No matter what happened with the Patriots, no matter what happened with the Bruins, you thought, well, you always have the Celtics. At least you got the Celtics. Look at the Celtics. They had a tough couple months there, January and December, but February and March, they were the best team in the league. Steamrolling everybody, looking like they were playing their best basketball just in time for the playoffs. Easy first round tomato can Orlando Magic. The Knicks in the second round, how perfect is that? The Knicks, who hadn't really even put up much of a fight against the Celtics all season. And now here they are, dancing on your grave. Brutal. Brutal. And I hate to be on the other end of something Tracy Morgan's on, you know, like, but I watching him and Timothy Chalamet and Busta Rhymes and Ben Stiller and all these schmucks. You know, I mean, listen, it's a team that doesn't get to celebrate like this very often. So part of me feels like, okay. But also, I mean, these Knicks fans, man, you would think they had like a great franchise. You would think that their organization wasn't an embarrassment. And the fact that this is the team that's knocking you out, this is the team that's maybe possibly kicking some dirt on the Brown and Tatum era here. They still have, listen, even I didn't think they were winning the championship here. But, yikes. All right, we have to do this contractually. Alex Cora spoke to the media. God, it's 4 minutes, Joe. What do you have to talk about? He's usually very quick after a loss. After a loss, Cora's just like, whatever. Yeah, we lost. So what? And that's it. Bing, bang, zoom. 4 minutes? He must have been upset. All right, we have to play this. So here's Alex Cora, and then after he's done, I'll get right to your phones.
First of all, it's crocheting.
Both of them were great. I mean, he made actually two good pitches on the homers. They covered, but overall, I mean, amazing. You know, the stuff was good. Strike throwing was excellent. The way he competed was great. So, yeah.
Just some of the little things kind of bothered you tonight, as far as like just base running and then the
command. I mean, it's frustrating. You know, like one thing when you go through weeks like this, right? Like you don't have to push the envelope, right? It's the other way around. We have to slow it down as a team, and I don't think we did that today.
What do you see from Hendricks and Bernie there? Just
strike throwing.
With Silver just trying to push him, it looked like he kind of stopped at first.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for everybody to second guess I mean, it's not an easy read, you know, and, you know, he hasn't played here that often, you know, and I bet if he has to do it again, he won't do it again, you know, but, you know, you have to read it and, you know, you make a decision, you know, and sometimes you're safe, sometimes you're out. You know, we just have to make sure, like I said, we have to slow it down, and we didn't do that today.
And the Rafi play, refer to that as a miscommunication?
Like I said, we have to slow down the game. We have to as a group, you know. We, in these situations, when you're not winning games, because we're not playing bad, when you're not winning games, it should be the other way around. Just let it happen. Sometimes, you know, that's the best way of doing it. And today we pushed the envelope and it didn't work out.
Is that something you'd like one of your guys to kind of talk to the team about? Like, how do you kind of get past that?
We've been talking about it, you know. We talk every day. So it's one of those that we got to keep preaching was good, and the things that we need to be better, and we've been doing that.
What's my kick for that? This isn't about Cresta, too. You're facing now, you know, last minute and then tonight.
Just a good pitcher, man. He's really good. The fastball today, I mean, it's not Cinco de Mayo. It's May 15th, and he was throwing hard today. The slider was really good. Backdoor for a strike. Down under for chases. He's not throwing that many changeups. I think the pitcher today was that fastball in low and into Alex. You know, he doesn't usually go to that spot, and he aced that pitch. You know, you got to tip your hat in that situation. But, you know, overall, just a good pitcher, you know, had a great night against us. And, you know, probably we have to face him again, right? So we got to be ready for the next one.
Just the way he was kind of grinding late in the 23 season. I mean, are you almost surprised a little just to the degree that he's come back the last 2 years?
No, because he actually pitched in 23, and he went through the grind, and he posted every 5 days, which is it was very important. The off season going into 23 to 24 was a regular one. It wasn't a rehab one, you know, so he had all those starts in his pocket, and going into the next one, it was just about going through his regular progression. You know, it's not that he took off, it's that he's healthy, you know, and when that guy is healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the big leagues.
All right, that was Alex Cora speaking to the media after the Red Sox 4-2 loss to the Atlanta Braves at Fenway Park. Back to the Celtics and the Knicks. It is now 112-80, about 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Game will be over soon, and we'll get to John Lyons. But in the meantime, let's go to the phones here and start things off with Steve in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Christian. Thank you for taking my call, man.
You got it.
Just a couple things, you know, and I know it's been mentioned before on this radio station as well as the other one. You know, I feel like the brand of basketball that the Celtics play is just, for me personally, it's not very entertaining. Running up and down the court, shooting a three every 5 seconds. There's no creativity. They don't change anything ever. They just go and huck the ball up and pray for the best. You know, the only other thing that I would say that I kind of miss, you know, especially with older basketball, is like we for years now haven't had, I feel like, a dominant force in the paint. We don't have that body under the basket or under the rim that I feel like any other team is really afraid of. One of the things I definitely would like to see is I would like to see the Celtics try to get Giannis if possible. I'd like to know what you think about that. But if possible, I don't know what they'd have to give up, but I would love to see Giannis on the Celtics next year or the year after, whenever that might be.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Listen, I mean, it's going to be an interesting offseason, that's for sure. You got a new owner. You have a lot of money committed that you may have to end up making some decisions about. There are several players who played their last game as a Celtic tonight. I think he was talking about big man. I think you're big man. I think that might be it for Mr. Porzingis. 11 minutes for him tonight. He was actually kind of good in his 11 minutes, 4 points. Some signs of life early in the first quarter. But that's pretty much when, you know, after the first, things completely got away from him. Celtics got outscored 38-17 in the second quarter. 38-17. They are probably not going to crack 90 points, I don't think. Yeah, there's a minute left. It's basically over. This is it. Aaron is in Plymouth. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, how are you, man? Long time listener. Second time caller, brother.
Well, thank you, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good. I mean, I'm as good as you can be with the whole the score situation, brother. Not going to lie to you. As good as one can be. But I just want to point out, I think it's a little classless out of Brunson and Karl Anthony. Not a big fan of them. They're celebrating like they're going to the finals right now, dude. Every basket they hit, they're throwing up their hands. They're doing everything they can. Like, they're bashing on a Tatumless Celtics right now, truthfully.
Yeah,
we're all gonna
be honest. They're playing
to
the crowd.
20-point leads. I get that. We probably should have swept them anyways. This shouldn't be a situation we're in. But just truthfully, like, what a non-winner thing to do.
I mean, listen,
I would also like to point out, as much hate as Tatum gets, he would never be doing such a thing.
He would never be celebrating on his way into the next round. I think he would, actually. Thanks for the call, Aaron. I appreciate it. I appreciate you checking in. The reason why the Knicks are gesticulating wildly like this is because that crowd is going crazy. That crowd of Madison Square Garden is going nuts. They are playing to that crowd. And you know, the Knicks, they don't go this far in the playoffs ever. This is making it to the finals for them. When was their last conference final? Was it in 2000? It's been 25 years, I think, since they last made it to a conference final. So that's why you're hearing this. That's why you're getting this. I don't suppose that they're going to win the NBA championship this year. I would imagine that if the Pacers don't get them, then whoever comes out of the West probably will. I don't think the Knicks are championship caliber, but they were certainly ready for you tonight. They were ready for whatever the Celtics were doing. Tom Thibodeau, hat tip to him. He pants Joe Mazzulla multiple times, and now it's a final. 119-81. Celtics, done. The Knicks will move on to face the winner of the Pacers and the Cavaliers. Or no, that's over already, right? Yeah, Pacers already won. So, yeah, it's going to be the Knicks and the Pacers in the next round. It really is like the 90s, isn't it? Knicks, Pacers, you know? It's Reggie Miller and ghost of Reggie Miller is going to be back there haunting Spike Lee.
I'm pretty sure TNT has the coverage of the Eastern Conference Finals, so it's going to be Reggie calling the games for Pacers-Knicks. So,
yeah.
I mean, from a non-Celtics fan point of view, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard. This is the type of loss that's going to hang over the entire region all summer. I believe that. And I hate to put it that way because I remember 2019 with the Bruins. That was a team. They made it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, so it's not exactly the same. But once you're in the driver's seat, once it seems like, oh, yeah, you got this, and you're about to go and do it, and then disaster strikes. Oh, that hangs. That hangs over the region. It really does. I hate to put it this way because the Red Sox kind of suck right now. But they're going to have to get it together here. Because what? Football, the training camp doesn't start till August. Okay? We got a long way to go. We got a long way to go until we get to football season, folks. And it was not a good hockey season either. I'm not saying we're back to the Fellowship of the Miserable yet, but knocking on the door with the way this Celtics season ended. And I don't just mean the injury. I mean this whole series. This whole series, losing to the Knicks. Losing to a team that you couldn't have possibly owned any more than you own them this year. Ah, brutal. All right, I'm going to let the callers hang on the line here and bring in John Lyons, who is live in studio. John, how are we doing tonight?
Not great. are canned.
Not great, Bob.
In a phrase. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, it's you'll have the duration of the night. I don't know how long you want to go for. I'd imagine you're going to have a lot of people to talk to, a lot of angry Celtics fans. I'm an angry Celtics fan. I might call in later. Might
Christian
slug a
in
couple,
the car? Okay.
Slug a couple. I'm not getting in the car, but yeah, I'll definitely. Yeah, you might hear me later on for sure. This was brutal, man. I mean, from the first quarter, you could tell. I mean, there was really a sense that unless Jaylen Brown did everything, that they weren't going to have a chance. And Jaylen Brown was doing everything, but, I mean, even he, you know, he had 2 points in the second quarter after that big first quarter and really petered out after that, fouling left and right. I mean, they got called for tons of fouls and fouling out in the third quarter. It was really one of the more brutal losses I can remember for a team that had these kind of expectations.
And Arkan, Porzingis hit a three with 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter to tie the game at 16. Like, this was a 16-16 game late in the first quarter. For the rest of the half, Knicks outscored the Celtics 48-21. Like, that was your game right there. Celtics, and you mentioned Jaylen Brown. Outside of him, Celtics had no answers. I mean, Porzingis was their second-best player tonight, and he had that 1-3. He had a couple nice defensive plays, a block right after the three, but that was it. Cornette wasn't a factor there. Derek White hit a couple threes early in the second half, but they were already down by over 30. He wasn't a factor at all, really, in the first half. Drew Holiday, not a factor in this game. I mean, you just go up and down the line. I mean, Jaylen Brown, I thought, had a good game overall, great first quarter, but other than that, I mean, no one was really a factor in this game. Pritchard really wasn't a factor. Hauser wasn't a factor. I mean, Mazzulla tried different lineups. He tried different guys. And just outside of Jaylen Brown and a little bit Porzingis, no one was a factor tonight.
You know when I knew they were in trouble? It was in the first quarter. Luke Kornet got the start, which, by the way, I think he deserved it after the way he played in Game 5.
Yeah, I was okay with him getting the start, too.
I wouldn't put Porzingis out there, and I mean, he did play okay in the short time we saw him, but you could tell he just wasn't right. He was cringing and gasping for air within 30 seconds of touching the floor. Anyway, Kornet starts the game, and I don't know if you remember this play, but Karl-Anthony Towns has the ball about 30, 35 feet away, and he pump fakes, and Kornet, watching Kornet jump at a pump fake from 35 feet away was just such a jarring thing to see because he's so tall, you know, and he just sort of goes up in the air. And I'm just saying, what are you doing out there? You're jumping at 35 feet away. And it just seemed like the moment was maybe a little too big for him. He got blocked by Ananobi when he was trying to get a put back in there. And it just, you know, from then on, I thought, okay, like they're a little bit in trouble here because the rest of these guys don't seem to be ready to go.
Yeah, and I think with Kornet, I mean, he's a really good role player. And you saw that in Game 5. He became a great player for one night. But really good role players are not going to do that every night. And I agree with you. I wanted him to start tonight. I was totally okay with that. But I think it would have been unreasonable to expect him to play like he did the other night in Game 5. They needed someone else. They needed a big game from a Horford like Game 3 against Indiana last year. They needed a big game from someone like Sam Hauser. They needed another huge game from Derek White, and they just didn't get it. And I think, you know, I heard you before I came on talking a little bit about this. Knicks deserve a lot of credit here. I mean, they're the ones that came back from two 20-point deficits in the first two games, a 14-point deficit in Game 4. I mean, let's not forget, before the Tatum injury, the Celtics were well on their way to being down 3-1, even with him.
Yep.
Right? And then tonight, as I said, 16-16, and after that, the Knicks put their foot on the gas pedal, and they kept it there for the entire rest of the game. I mean, that early second quarter, I'm looking at my notes here, and it's just Knicks dominating, left and right. I mean, they were getting and ones left and right. I even wrote down, Celtics look out of gas, Knicks take a 20-point lead with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. I mean, the Knicks here, I have to say, a lot of this is about the Celtics blowing those first two games, blowing Game 4. This is a lot of, and the Celtics were the more talented team and the defending champs. But they started to run out of gas. Some bad habits from January crept back in, and the Knicks went out there and took it from them. So I think I also, in fairness, I do have to give some credit to the Knicks here on this series win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you got to give a lot of credit to guys like Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges. Ananobi, I thought, had a great series. Josh Hart, you know, it was just...
The Knicks defensively, too. Like, I know the Celtics missed a ton of shots.
They were great defensively.
Yeah, but you look at, I mean, Game 1, the Knicks held the Celtics down. Game 2, the Celtics only scored 90 points tonight. Yep. Celtics offense had no answer. So the Celtics had those two games, Game 3 and Game 4, where they kind of exploded offensively. Other than that, the Knicks for long stretches of this series, I know the Celtics had a lot of lead time, but it wasn't kind of what we're used to offensively with Celtics basketball.
Jaylen Brown had 20 points. Peyton Pritchard had 11 off the bench. Al Horford had 10. No one else cracked double digits on the whole roster.
Drew Holiday with 4 points. Derek White didn't score, I think, until, what, the third quarter? There you go.
Holiday and White were exceptionally bad. 4 of the 5 Knicks starters had 20 or more points. I mean, it was not really close. And, that second quarter, you could tell it was over. I mean, it was over in the second quarter.
And also, too, I mean, you mentioned the points. Karl-Anthony Towns, 12 rebounds. Josh Hart, 11 rebounds. Ananobi, 9 rebounds. I mean, that's 3 guys in starting 5 with 9 or more rebounds. The Celtics got killed on the glass, especially early in this game. They had no answer. I mean, the Knicks out-rebounding the Celtics Arcan tonight, 55-36. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is why. Those three almost had more rebounds than the Celtics whole team.
Yeah, yeah. Really Celtics, 32. 16
those three
turnovers,
had 32, yeah.
16 turnovers, 11 in the first half. I mean, 11 with your best scorer and player out, 11 turnovers in the first half.
That's the voice of John Lyons. He's going to take you the rest of the evening. And the phone number is 617-779-7937. Red Sox lose, Celtics lose, season's over, and their future very much in doubt. John Lyons will have his stethoscope on and will be the doctor for you tonight. He'll be the psychiatrist as we do Celtics group therapy here on WEEI late into the night. Keep it going for Lyons at 617-779-7937. I'm Christian Arcand. I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys on Sunday. We'll have Sunday Mass for you where we'll do some praying for the Celtics and for all of Boston sports, really, because this is not a great spot that we're all in right now. Stick around for Lions, and again, the number 617-779-7937. I'll talk to you on Sunday. Good night.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
But it was as dominant a clinching victory as you could have, especially against the defending champion, the one that was missing their best player. And now the Knicks can dribble it out. For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final. And they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Joe Braverman producing, crying, by the way. And that's the case. It's all over. A 2-year Celtics run that involved a thrilling championship last year. We'll always have that, folks. Oh, sorry. We have Joe Mazzulla right now, Joe Braverman. We're going to go to him right after the game, and then we'll get right back to your calls, texts, and now all that. Right now, Celtics lose and are eliminated.
You know, this is the price you pay for trying to go after something, and that's how it goes. But I'm really just thankful to the guys, you know, for who they are as people and what they've done as players, what they've done as a team.
Mark, check out that you're on the other side of it. Just what was the emotional toll of this series in the way it went with giving up big leads at home and then obviously we got punched midway through? What's the emotion kind of going through?
There wasn't really much emotion there. It was just, that's just the way it goes. I mean, you can't have an expectation that a series is supposed to go a certain way. Obviously losing a player to that type of injury was tough, but like that's part of it. And you move on as a team, and that's it.
Joe, you've talked a lot about champions not being able to get out of the second round. You guys were, you know, cruising along, 60-win season. You got through that first round. It was tough, but you got through it pretty quickly. What is it about the second round that all of a sudden everything seems to just change? Almost, let's say, you look like a different team, but a lot of things change.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's what we'll spend the summer looking through is you know, the differences that we have that, but that's obviously a psychological hurdle over the last, 7-8 years now. And so spent time studying that this offseason, you know, just wasn't able to get through that hurdle. I didn't think we couldn't get over it until this round, and so that's obviously something we came into the season having an understanding. I think it's 5, 6, or 7, it might have been 5 or 6, now 7, of the champs from the last year haven't made it, and so you work to put in, parameters, psychological, mental toughness parameters, things, you talk about it, but, at the end of the day, there's just as many teams wanting to win, and so, you got to execute, you got to do all those things, and to me, it's not about, our guys, they did everything they could. You got to tip your hats off to the Knicks. They played a great series. They've been great all year. Tibbs is a great coach, so you got to tip your hat off to them.
Yeah. Did you feel like there was anything different about this year's team from last year's team, or was it more just kind of those moments, those winning moments you had last year?
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't see anything different. I saw something better. I mean, I saw throughout the season our guys had the right mindset and the right process towards going after it. You obviously, it's not going to go the way you want it to. I like the way we ended it. You just, ran into a great team in the second round. They got the best of us. But like I said, to me, it's more about the mindset and the process that the guys had throughout the season. I thought they gave it everything they had. I thought they really went after it, trying to achieve something that's obviously extremely difficult. I thought they went after that. And when you go after something, this is the price you pay.
Every staff there.
Did you see it all with the team? Did you see this team before you got here in the conference finals? This core has done a lot. But it just seemed like tonight was a night that the gas tank ran out. Did you see that? Not even tonight, but just throughout this series, you see, as much as you didn't want to maybe admit, okay, like, we don't have what we had before.
I did not see that fatigue. Obviously, I saw that tonight a little bit, but I didn't see that throughout the season. I didn't see that throughout the series. No.
Joe, just in your view, what caused tonight's game to play up so much different from the first time?
You got to tip your hat off to the Knicks. I mean, they outplayed us. They played better. I'm happy for Tibbs. He's been coaching for a long time. To me, that's the biggest thing.
Thank you.
He's you know, you pay your dues, you put forth everything. That guy's a lifer, man. You know, he's everything a coach is all about, and he deserves it. So I think it's more about that, and they deserve it as a team, and you got to tip your hat off to him.
Joe, for years up until last season, this team had such a penchant for getting big leads and had trouble holding on to them. That's part of the matchup for the game. But the first two games in the series, you guys blew those big leads. What was the accomplishment, I guess, of building a team maybe up until the series that was able to build big leads and hold on to them? And then what was so difficult about it in this series?
I mean, I thought that just the Knicks made huge momentum plays in those things to take advantage of that and keep them and be able to bring themselves back into the games. And, you know, all those things that you talk about, end of quarters, start of quarters, momentum plays of offensive rebounds, you know, they made all those plays. And, you know, those are the things that you, regardless of if you work on them one day, 2 days, 2 years, 3 years, there's stuff that you got to retool every single day. And those are the habits that, you know, impact games. As you saw, they can impact games, they can impact a series. So those habits you have to commit to, like, every single day, all the time, every year. No, I mean, if you're going to be in the arena and you're going to be, first of all, if you're going to be coaching for a long time, you know, you're going to have a lot more probably heartbreaks than you are joyful moments. I think if you look at the perspective, and that's just how it goes. And so when you step into the arena and you go after something, that's how it goes. So it has nothing about do the weight of it or anything. It's just, you know, most coaches, the ratio of heartbreak to success at the end of the year, you probably have more of those. If you're going to be in it for a long time, you can't expect it to go the way that you can't expect it to go your way. You can't expect it to go the way you want it all the time. You know, that, and that's just part of it. And you have to be able to accept those both of those things. And, you know, that's the arena.
Yeah, obviously, you guys have stepped up this year. Looking back, how would you reflect on what you disproved over the last year?
Like I said, I told the guys in the locker room, one of the honors of my life would be able to coach this group of guys. So you go down the list, every one of these guys is a champion, a warrior, and they've done a lot of great things in this league. And it's an honor to be able to share a locker room with them and you know, be next to them on the court and be in the arena with them. So I'm grateful for that. And to me, it just shows who they are as people and who they are as players. But that's really what it's all about, is those guys. You know, they came in, we had a legit shot at it. And, you know, they gave everything they had to try to go. But, you know, we ran into a better team.
Obviously, Jason working a long rehab. Does it hurt more knowing that by the time he comes back, things could be changed, the roster could be changed? Realistically, it might have been the last chance for this group as a team. And then moving forward, how do you guys have to respond to that? And what weight will the rest of you guys have to carry next year?
I haven't really thought one second of that. More just focused on the guys in that locker room right now and grateful for the effort and what they put through on that. And that's really all that matters.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks.
That was Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla after the Celtics are eliminated 119-81 in Game 6 against the New York Knicks. We have a ton to get to. I'm going to be here for another hour. Justin Turpin will join right around 11:30 or so. I see several of you on the text line. I see several of you lined up on the phone lines as well. I'm going to get to all of you. I'm going to take a quick break. As soon as we get back, I'm going to get right to your calls, right to your texts. So stay on the line. Again, Celtics lose 119-81. For now, it's all over.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Brunson, 6 seconds. Brunson on the drive. Gets inside. The Towns lost it. Kicks it out. Corner three. It's good. An exclamation point. Brunson, step back. Three-pointer. Got it. Timeout Celtics. Brunson, three-pointer. Got Hart, tracks it down. Another three, puts it in.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, Joe Braverman producing. Celtics lose to the Knicks 119-81. An ignominious end to a season that started with a blowout win of the Knicks way back on banner night in October. Season that, for long stretches, held the potential of a repeat championship, at least a shot at that. But they become once again a defending champion to lose in the second round. Last team to repeat, Warriors in 2018. Every defending champ since then has lost in the second round. And this was a series. I mean, the game tonight was just awful. The first half tonight was the worst half of basketball Celtics have played in the last 2 years. Really, especially, definitely this year, and go back through last year as well. Don't forget, this was a 16-16 game with 2:30 left in the first quarter, and it was 64-37 at halftime. And this was a series, again, I don't know, maybe the Celtics didn't take the Knicks seriously enough. Maybe they just played bad. Maybe it was both, but 20-point lead in game one, loss. 20-point lead in game two, loss. 14-point lead in game four, loss. That's three games that you had a double-digit lead in the second half. Two of them 20-point leads at home. Just kind of tells the whole story right there. But I said I'm going to get to the calls, I'm going to get to the texts, and I am going to do that right now. I've seen some of you been holding on for a while. Let's start with Mark in New Hampshire. You've been holding on the longest. Mark, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
Thank you. First of all, this watching this game tonight, to me, was reminiscent of watching the Patriots-Bears Super Bowl back in 85. And when the Bears just kept pounding and pounding and pounding them. And Dick Enberg, who was doing the play-by-play in that game, came out with this statement. He goes, if this was a professional fight, they'd stop it. And that's what I thought about tonight's game. Dick Enberg's statement came to me tonight. If this was a professional prize fight, they would have stopped this game tonight. I mean, it was outright embarrassing the way they had their rear ends kicked up and down that floor. And so that leads me to my other point. So let the Knicks have their fun, okay? Let them have their fun. I'm probably one of your older callers. So we need to put this in proper perspective. The last time the New York Knickerbockers as a basketball franchise won an NBA championship was when Richard Nixon was the president of the United States. Since then, the Boston Celtics have won 7 NBA championships. So let them have their fun. They're not going to win this year. If they're lucky enough to get by Indiana, they're going to get their you know what's kicked by either Denver or OKC.
Mark, thanks for the call. And, yeah, look, the Knicks deserve a lot of credit for winning this series. I agree with them, though. I don't think they're going to beat the Pacers, and if they do, they're not going to beat OKC or Denver. And to be clear, and I said this during the season, I said I'm actually going to be on this station tomorrow morning with Megan Onalini, and her and I talked about this a couple months ago. A fully loaded Celtics team would have had a lot of trouble against Oklahoma City and maybe some trouble against Denver as well, but definitely some trouble against Oklahoma City. We've talked about that multiple times this year. OKC's a wagon, credit to them. So, yeah, I mean, again, credit to the Knicks tonight, but this might be the ceiling for them. So we'll see. Got a couple more calls to get to here in just a moment. Again, Celtics, 119-81. It was really that second quarter. 64-37 at halftime, the 48-21 run from the late first through the second. The second quarter itself was a 38-17 advantage for the Knicks. It just felt like the Celtics, they came out kind of flat offensively. They were missing a bunch of shots, and the Knicks didn't come out great early either, right? I mean, this was an 11-5 game, what, 5 minutes into the first quarter? So the Knicks didn't come out great either offensively, but the Knicks were able to find a rhythm. Celtics never did. Let's go to next call here, Avi in Arlington. Avi, welcome in. What do you got?
All I can say is that the Celtics won last year, and the Knicks aren't going to do anything. They're going to get blown out by any of the Pacers. And the Knicks are dirty players. That's all I can say about them. What I have to say, they're dirty, and another thing is that officials are horrible in that game.
Yeah, Avi, thanks for the call. I'm not going to blame the officials when you lose by 38. I'm just not. And I'm not going to blame the officials when you lose games 1 and 2 after having 20-point leads in the second half. So I appreciate the call, but yeah, I'm not going to go there. And the Knicks, look, does Brunson hunt for fouls? Yeah. Do I occasionally see something a little shady, a little dirty from someone like Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah. But you know what? Let's also tell the truth right here. The Knicks were tougher than the Celtics over the course of 6 games. Like, Joe Mazzulla talked about it in his post-game press conference. Someone asked him about those first 2 games and the blown leads, and Mazzulla said, you know, that was about the Knicks making huge momentum plays. That was his quote. I mean, the Knicks were tougher in game one. They were tougher in game two. And you notice, we didn't say that about anybody last year. We did say that about the Heat 2 years ago. Kind of interesting. This playoff, this series, not exactly the same, but kind of a feel of that 2023 series against the Heat. A team the Celtics were better than. Celtics didn't make shots. Offense got stagnant. And the other team was just tougher. Again, last year, that wasn't the case. The Celtics were tougher than the Cavs last year. The Celtics were tougher than the Pacers last year. The Celtics, I think we saw, were a lot tougher than Luka and the Mavs in the finals. So last year, that wasn't a problem. But in 2023 and 2025, it was. Let's go to Ron in Medford. Ron, welcome in.
You know, I got to tell you, this series is really odd to examine because...
I agree, Ron.
On one hand, they blew two 20-point leads that they had late in the third quarter. So, in reality, you would assume that Game 5 would have wrapped that series up. You know, you split New York and you win the series in 5. But on the flip side, on the other side, the New York's forwards, their bigs, I mean, those guys worked so hard. They owned the boards. They had so many offensive rebounds. I don't know how many times they had 3 and 4 shots. There'd be 3 Celtics there, and one Nick would go up and grab the rebound and get second. I don't know how many second chance points they had, but you know, I hope in the off season, you know, he addresses that, because you know, you got 38-year-old Al Horford, and you really, you know, Porzingis is, you know, at the end of his career, and obviously he had a tough time breathing tonight. You could tell he was struggling, but I mean, they got to address something about the fact that we don't have anybody of that you've got to worry about in the paint.
Yeah, Ron, thanks for the call. I agree. I mean, Horford, Kornet, and Porzingis tonight combined for, what, 19 points? Porzingis had 4, Horford 10, Kornet 5. I mean, 19 points combined from your top 3 bigs. Like that's and Horford, 2 rebounds. Kornet, 5 rebounds. Porzingis, 4. Right? So, I mean, Porzingis had 5, excuse me. So those guys, what, five, two, like those guys combined for 12 rebounds, 19 points, 12 rebounds. Three guys combined. And look, the Porzingis illness, I think, had as big an impact on this series as Tatum's injury. I think a healthy Porzingis, you win probably the first two games, at least one of them, and we're having a different conversation right now. And it's just not the way it happened, right? And it's weird, too, because when they traded for Porzingis, he's the unicorn. He was great in Washington. They were a bad team, but he was great that year. Last year, he was awesome. And the knock on Porzingis was always the physical injuries. And we saw it in the playoffs last year, right? He got injured against Miami, got injured again against Dallas, was out until November 25th this year. Now, I mean, physically, right? Like as far as like bones and muscles and ligaments, he was healthy. And then he gets this virus that he can barely breathe. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I feel for the guy and I appreciate him trying to be out there. I really do. And tonight, I feel like those minutes tonight in the late first quarter might have been the best he played all season. Not might have been. It was the best he played all season. He hits that three, had a shot block right after, affected some shots on defense. Like, that was the best he played all series, and that was, what, a 3 or 4 minute stretch, max? Like, that was another piece of this. Like, when Tatum got hurt, Celtics were already down 3-1 at that point. If Tatum doesn't dive for that ball and doesn't get hurt, Celtics are probably still down 3-1. Unless a miracle happens at the end of that game, they're still down 3-1. Whereas if Porzingis is healthy this whole series, probably not even in that situation in game four. And again, it's a mystery illness. Whatever. And then to the caller's point, Al Horford, 10 points tonight. Quiet series, though. And last year, the thing about Al Horford was he was an older player last year, too, but you could depend on him. It felt like he had one game just about every series last year where you could depend on him for a huge night of some sort. And this game, you know, in game three, he had 15 points and 9 rebounds. That was a big game, but it wasn't like game five against Cleveland last year where he had 22 and 15. Or it wasn't like game three against Indiana where he hit 7 threes. Like, you never got that from Al Horford in this series. And Cornette had the amazing game in game five. I think Joe Mazzulla, if there's one thing you want to question him on, I think when Porzingis showed to be ineffective in game one, Cornette should have gotten a lot more minutes in game two and throughout the rest of the series. I think that's one thing Mazzulla, and I think Pritchard should have got more minutes early in the series too. I think that's a couple things if you want to look at Mazzulla and go back to, you can kind of second guess there. But it's tough, and this could be, and I said this before Mazzulla, we played his press conference, this could have been the last game of this group of Celtics. I mean, we've been talking for a year now that they're probably going to trade one of Holiday and Porzingis this summer. That was even before the Tatum injury. But now, I mean, who knows? Horford could retire. They could end up trading Porzingis and Holiday. Maybe Hauser's a trade candidate, and they just look to build this around Brown, White, and then a returning Tatum. Because that's really, to me, that's your core right now, is Tatum, Brown, and Derek White. That's your core. Those are the three guys that you know. Like, Tatum is an elite top five player. Brown's a top 20 player. White is a really good player, right? That's your three guys that you know you can depend on night in and night out to be good players. And in Tatum's case, an elite player. Beyond that, everything's on the table. And I'm not even saying I would totally take the Brown or White trades off the table, but you'd really have to, it'd have to be a special circumstance. I think that's your big three right now. We're going to talk to Justin Turpin in about 15 minutes or so. Also going to get into what the future might look like here. Keep your calls coming, 617-779-7937. I see a bunch of texts here as well I'm going to get to after the break. Before we get to that, though, it is time to trend with our producer, Joe Braverman.
Gary Safter.
Did you see it all with the team? Did you see, I mean, this team before you got here in the conference finals? This core has done a lot. It just seemed like tonight was a night that the gas tank went out. I mean, did you see that? Not even tonight, but just throughout this series, did you see, as much as you didn't want to maybe admit, okay, like, we don't have what we had before?
I did not see that fatigue. Obviously, I saw that tonight a little bit, but I didn't see that throughout the season. I didn't see that throughout the series. No.
That was Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla. Not blaming fatigue at all. And, I mean, you can't really blame fatigue when you lose by 38. I think the fatigue factor, you know, you could say is a little bit in play on the season itself. Yeah, you play into June last year. Tatum, White, and Holiday play in the Olympics. You know, Porzingis comes back from injury, but I just think the Knicks were tougher in this series. Games one and two, they took it from you. And the Celtics missed a crap ton of shots, 25 for 100 from three in those first two games. Game four, Celtics are up by 14 on the road. Before the Tatum injury, they had already blown that lead, right? So they were well on their way to losing this series before Tatum got hurt. And obviously, look, the biggest story of this series is the Tatum injury, because that not only did that play a major role in you losing this series, and I know, look, you were on your way to be down 3-1 without Tatum, but I think, let's be honest, tonight, if you went into MSG down 3-2, you're in that game late if you have Jason Tatum. They didn't. They laid an egg outside of Jaylen Brown. They lost by 38. But the Tatum injury didn't just affect this series and your potential at a championship this year. It affects your next year's season, maybe how you plan for the future overall. I mean, as I said before the break, I think this is a Tatum, Brown, and White core right now. And who knows? I mean, anything really outside of Tatum is on the I mean, I think trading Jaylen Brown would be a massive mistake unless it's for a top seven player in the NBA. But I just don't see a realistic path to that. So, and Derek White, too, I don't see a path to trading him either. So I think that's your core, and how do you maximize around that? And I think I think the biggest question for the Celtics right now is, what's Tatum's injury recovery timetable? I mean, Kobe Bryant came back about 8 months after his injury. That would put Tatum back around the All-Star break, roughly. Kevin Durant was almost a year and a half. Now, Durant's circumstance is a little unique in that he got injured in the finals, and if you remember, that was the 2019 finals. The next year was COVID, so he probably could have played in the bubble, chose not to, worked his way back, and then just played the next season, and he looked great the next season, and he's been a multi-time All-Star and an All-NBA level player since then. He's been awesome. But I think it's something that, what is that time to? Because if Tatum's timetable is February or March, then you can really try to either keep most of this group together. I think it's unrealistic to say you'll keep this whole group together.
The plan just needs to be going to the expectation that he's out of calendar year. Because this is a guy who's still 27 years old.
You can't just do that, Joe. Like, I think you have to go in with a click, because 8 months means you would have a shot at winning a championship next year. A calendar year means you wouldn't. And I think that's a big difference to me. So,
well, it also depends on what happens at the beginning of next year. If they still look like a championship level team, then maybe you can make the assumption that Tatum could be back to help for some kind of playoff
run. I think you
run.
Do it the other way around. I think you see what his timetable is and then you build around that. Because I would not want to push him at all. Like, if they look good the first 4 months of next year, I wouldn't want to push him. Now, if he's ready, I'm jumping for joy. But I wouldn't want to push him at that point. But the second biggest story behind the Tatum injury, and we can still talk about that, I see some of you on the phone lines here, was the disappearance of Kristaps Porzingis. And it's this illness I talked about a little bit before the break. This is a guy who last year, let's not forget, the best the Celtics looked last year was game one of the finals against Dallas when he came off the bench. Like, they were unstoppable. He was great last year, all season long. And I know he got hurt in the playoffs prior to his injury. He was great when he came back against Dallas. He was great in game one, great in game two, got hurt again, played pretty well in game five. Off, you know, again, game five, he was a little more limited because he had that second injury. But he was great last year. And then you look at this year, he comes back and he looks like okay. You know, he's kind of working his way back. If you go, like, if you look back through his game log, he'd have like a 15-point night and then a 5-point night, you know. It was something that it felt to me like they were kind of managing Porzingis on that return. And if you just go back, right, like January, he averaged 20 points and 7 rebounds. February, averaged 17 points and 6 rebounds. Then he missed that stretch of games in March with that kind of mystery illness. But if you go back to late March, even late March, I mean, against Phoenix on March 26th, he had 30 points and 8 rebounds. Against Memphis, a couple games later, he had 19 points, right? Against the Knicks on April 8th, he had 34 points. So even after that illness in March, he still had some great games. And then you go to the Orlando series. Game 2, 20 and 10. Game 4, 19 and 5. And I know he was shooting at like 5 for 14, isn't great in game 2, but still, I mean, he had 20 points. And then all of a sudden that illness kind of felt like it crept back in around game five of Orlando. I mean, 9 points in game five against Orlando. Goose egg, 0 points in game one against the Knicks, 8 points in game two, five in game three, seven in game four, one in game five, four tonight. And tonight was, I thought, the best he looked this series, despite the 4 points. So it's just, I don't know, the disappearance of Kristaps Porzingis because of the still second biggest story of the series. Because, again, when you decide, are we going to trade Holiday? Are we going to trade Porzingis? Are we going to trade both if you're the Celtics? Porzingis' recovery from this, I think, factors into that pretty significantly. I see some of you on the phone lines, but right now I want to go to Madison Square Garden. Justin Turpin, who covers the Celtics for WEEI.com, he is there and he is checking in now. Turp, welcome in on a somber evening here on WEEI.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, Turp, I want to start by asking specifically about tonight's game. Celtics have the huge 25-point win in Game 5. Tonight, only 20 points in the first quarter. They get even worse in the second quarter. They get outscored 38-17. I mean, just from your view being there, what was the cause of this offensive evaporation by the Celtics tonight?
Yeah, they just had nobody could make a shot. I mean, it really did look similar to games one and two in the sense that only Jaylen Brown could make a shot. It was really weird. Like, you know, you'd expect guys like Derek White, Drew Holiday, Peyton Pritchard, guys that have proven they can be capable scorers and score at a high level when they're called upon. They were just nowhere to be found tonight. And I also think the Celtics did themselves no favors offensively because they couldn't grab an offensive rebound, or they couldn't grab a defensive rebound, rather. So New York's getting all these second-chance opportunities, which slowed them down. They're playing against a set defense, and it's also they kept turning the ball over. And you know, it's really tough to find offensive flow when you're not stopping them on one end and you keep giving it away on the other. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot, and you know, it's something we're not used to seeing from this team.
Yeah, and I think, Terp, I know you cover the Celtics. I watch, you know, all the games as a fan. I mean, for my money, I think this was the worst game they've played in the last 2 years.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, what, when the
game four against
out,
the finals were, last year was pretty bad, but like this felt worse than that.
This definitely felt worse than that. You know, I was at that game four last year in Dallas as well, and it didn't really feel that way. It was just like, you know, Dallas was kind of had a hot shooting night and it was impacting the Celtics. Like this, they were flat, really. They were from the start. That first bucket from New York, it just kind of set the tone. And, you know, like you said, it felt weird, you know, from this group to see them go out like that. But, you know, that's where we're at now.
So, Terp, I'm wondering if maybe, and look, we shouldn't have seen a 38-point ass-kicking coming, but should we maybe have seen something like this coming? And what I mean by that is you and I talked last year, and it was my favorite quote of the year from Jason Tatum, about not skipping steps. And last year they did not skip any steps. They went 100 miles an hour all the time, every night, every series. And it felt like this year we saw some lapses, right? That mid-December to mid-January timeline, there was some inconsistencies in that Orlando series, but we kind of chalked it up, or at least a lot of people did, to, hey, they're the defending champs, they're managing minutes, they're trying to make sure they're healthy for the run. I mean, do you think maybe more of us should have seen something like this coming?
I mean, when you're looking at it right now, after the season just ended, I mean, I'd agree. There were some warning signs along the way, and even as recent as that Oklahoma City series, rather that Orlando series. Like, when they were going those scoreless stretches, I think back to, like, Game three, when they scored, what, 11 points in the third quarter, and they, you know, that was some telltale signs, like this team would go cold a little bit. You mentioned the stretch in December and January, specifically down the clutch. Like, they couldn't execute down the clutch in the series here against New York. It was, so there were some signs, and, you know, I think that's a great quote from Jason Tatum, the skipping steps, and I don't know if this is necessarily skipping steps. I think it was about building bad habits. Everyone kept refining back and reverting back to the fact that this is a championship team, and they have the habits. They understand what it takes to win. But, you know, that was last year. And I know the roster was the exact same, but, you know, there's a different persona around this team this year after they're coming off a championship, and they've earned that. I'm not taking away from that whatsoever. But they also did, in a way, set bad habits from the beginning of the season where they went through that little stretch. And it was to be expected. Let's not act like this was, like, supposed to be some perfect season. They still won 61 games. Like, they were a good team. But, yes, when you're looking at it from the lens that where they wanted to be and how they wanted to play, yes, those did set some bad habits.
Talking with Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. Does a great job covering the Celtics for WEEI.com. Turp, I was going back last year. You and I did these post-game shows all the way through mid-June in a championship.
Yeah.
I know the Tatum injury is the headliner, but if you had to pick one reason besides the Tatum injury that we're not still doing these shows into June this year, what would that be for you?
Kristaps Porzingis, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think game two specifically, I mean, that one really was a game changer in the series, like really shifted the momentum. I mean, if that series was 1-1, I think we're talking a lot differently than we are right now. Obviously, the series wouldn't be over. But just they went out and got him to be the break glass in case of emergency type of guy. Like, hey, when things aren't going right offensively, let's just get it to him. Let him get us back on track. And at times throughout this series and throughout this entire postseason, we saw the offense go stagnant. And Kristaps Porzingis wasn't there to get them right on track. And that's the whole reason they went out and got him. And then you look at the defensive end as well. Like, he was pretty much a non-factor on the defensive end. He's getting out-rebounded by Josh Hart and Deuce McBride a couple times. Like, just he was a non-factor, and he had a really rough series. And again, like, I think we talked about the other night, like, I don't want to jump on Kristaps Porzingis, like, because I give him a lot of credit for playing through this. Like, clearly he's not right. Like, there was at one point in the first quarter, right away he called for a sub, and Joe took a timeout instead, and he ended up staying in the game. So he's clearly playing through something. He actually just talked to the locker room and said he doesn't really quite know what it is, and that rest will probably help him. But, you know, it's tough. Like, you went out and got him to be a crucial part. And I know it was kind of it was a hot debate on talk radio this year. Do they need him to win it all? And, you know,
I think we saw that,
might not have last year. Yeah, they might not have last year, but last year was last year. It's a lot different. You know, they talked about it all year. There's a reason, the last six NBA champions haven't made it out of the second round. It's hard to do it, and that's why you need that guy like Kristaps Porzingis. You need a guy like him that can just right the ship and get you back on track, and he just wasn't there the entire playoffs, really, for them.
Yeah, actually, Turp, I think it's up to seven now in a row haven't got out of the second round. The last time it was the Warriors who won in 17-18, and that was a team that had two top 10 players of all time in Durant and Steph, so maybe that's what it takes. I don't know. But so, Turp, you mentioned Porzingis, and I agree with you 1,000% that when they traded for him, yes, he was a really good defensive player, but he was about unlocking their offense when they weren't hitting shots, which killed them in 2023, and that's why he was so valuable last year, and even when he was healthy this year, their offensive rating was second in the league. He was a huge part of that. So when you look going forward, the big question, I think, over the next 2 months is going to be, do you trade Porzingis? Do you trade Holiday? Do you trade Hauser? Do you trade all three? I mean, if you had to pick one of those guys to stay, I mean, would it be Porzingis despite the health risks because of those other factors he brings?
It would be Porzingis, and I think it goes beyond the health risk and beyond the other factors he brings, because, of course, they'd love to have Jrue Holiday as well. It's really a lose-lose situation, but it's the reality of the new CBA. Just from a pure roster construction standpoint, you don't know what's going to happen with Al Horford. Like, you don't know if you can afford him, which is a problem, and by the time Jason Tatum's healthy again and ready to play, Al Horford's going to be 40. Same thing with Jrue Holiday. He's going to be 36 by the time Jason Tatum's next ready to take the floor if he misses the entire calendar year. You don't know what's going to happen with Luke Kornet, who was one of the best players for the Celtics in the series. He's a free agent. He got offered money elsewhere for a higher price and turned it down to come back. Will he do that again? So just because of the uncertainty at the center position, you're going to really kind of need him, because you have two big free agents in Al Horford and Luke Kornet, and you know Horford probably wants to come back. He's already on record saying that he wants to play next year. Just financially, can you make it work? And with Luke Kornet, he's turning 30. Is he going to go out and try to cash in before it's too late? So just from a roster construction standpoint, I think you need more help at the centers, because those two free agents are under contract right now. You have Kristaps Porzingis and Nemi Ishketa, and at the guards, at least at the very least, you'll have Derek White and Peyton Pritchard. So you feel a lot more comfortable about those guards. So I would say from a roster construction standpoint, it would make sense for Porzingis to stay. But I mean, if you're talking just the player, I think they'd prefer Jrue, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think there's merits to both there, right? And a lot of it has to do with positioning, Turp. And so I guess the natural follow-up question is, how different do you think this team looks in October? And realistically, what do you think they do now that all these tax penalties and everything is kicking in?
Yeah, this team's going to look a lot different. And I think they are well aware of that reality at the post-game pressers here. We just heard from Jaylen Brown and Derek White, and Even Joe Mazzulla kind of hinted at it when they were talking just how special this group is. And obviously you're going to say that after the season ends, but this one felt a little bit different. And they all understood the ramifications. When this team was put together, it had an expiration date. When Jason Tatum goes down and could miss a calendar year, that date moves forward. That's just how it is. And it's going to cost $500 million to retain this team the way it is next year. And I think people are holding on to hope that had they stayed healthy and won another championship, new ownership and Bill Chisholm would have a hard time breaking it up, because that's just that does so much damage to your reputation in your first year as an owner. But now you have a second round exit. You're looking at Jason Tatum gone for perhaps a calendar year. It's hard to justify paying $220 million or $200 million for the starting five, and then $500 million to retain the roster as a whole. So it's going to look a lot different. And you know, this was to be expected, but the hope was that it would be after another championship, or at least getting there and competing for one. A second round exit makes it a lot tougher of a pill to swallow, and you know, an earlier conversation than people would have liked to have been having it.
He is Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. Does a terrific job covering the Celtics. Who knows, Turp? I know we'll be doing playoff postgame next year. Hopefully we'll go a little bit deeper than mid-May. But I appreciate all the time and effort you've put in covering the Celtics, as well as joining me in all these playoff postgames the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. I'm looking forward to doing it again next year, hopefully into June.
Yes, let's hope so. He is Justin Turpin again. I'm John Lyon. Celtics lose 118-91 and are eliminated. I see some of you on the phone line, some of you on the text line. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more about this game, get to your calls, get to your texts here on WEEI.
I don't make no excuses. Obviously, it's tough the way we went out like tonight, but the way we finished the year, personally, where I finished the year, you know, persevering through some physical stuff that I was battling through. You know, I'm proud of our group. I thought that, you know, we fought. You know, we was in a lot of battles, and it's a lot to be excited for. This journey is not the end. It's not the end for me. I'm looking forward to coming back stronger, you know. So, you know, you just take this with your chin up.
Back here on WEEI. Wrapping up the Celtics season. They win 61 games as the defending champs, get to the second round, lose to the Knicks in six games, and it was a loss in more ways than one. You had the disappearance of Kristaps Porzingis due to his mystery illness, which I'm still concerned about. And you had the injury, the very real injury, not mysterious, to Jason Tatum and his Achilles, which is going to affect the Celtics not just now, but for the next at least 8 months, if not year, and years plural. Let's go to the phones. Sean in Montana has been hanging on a while, wants to talk Celtics. Sean, welcome in.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for taking my call tonight. I tell you, as a Boston sports fan, it's been always hard. You know, you hate losing to New York sports. Like, you know, losing in 03 against New York really hurt. You know, 86, obviously, the Red Sox was in the Mets. Probably this is the worst I've really have felt probably since the Patriots lost both Super Bowls to the Giants, and the Bruins losing to the Islanders a few years ago was tough. But I just, you know, I don't know where the team will be headed from here, but I'm really proud that Chisholm doesn't want this team to be a complete rebuild. I mean, I'm glad he made that point blunt. I mean, that he was blunt about it, because it's like, come on, we don't need to go through rebuilds. We don't want that to happen. I mean, we had to deal with that from 80 after the 86 championship season, you know, when that happened. But I can tell you, Christian was really good about what he said, that it's really just been a really frustrating time for Boston sports. Like, you know, you think about it, Patriots last year, the Bruins having their issues, the Red Sox are completely disappointed, and, you know, the Celtics we thought would be the team. But I'm going to say this too. I actually got a laugh out of some callers tonight to think that, oh yeah, let the Knicks all celebrate. You know, it's funny. Ladies and gentlemen, let's think about this too. I have a friend of mine that I text with, and he and I, we text every day. He and I basically said, let the New York sports droughts continue. You know how funny it is? Because, look, the Jets haven't won since 68. Hey, the New York Knicks.
Thanks for the call, Sean. We got a couple minutes till we got to wrap up. So I get the point, though. I think to his point about Bill Chisholm, the biggest question of the offseason is Tatum's recovery timeline. Next biggest question is, how much of a payroll is Bill Chisholm really willing to tolerate? I would assume he doesn't want to go to the second apron, and no owner in the NBA would, and the second apron is frankly kind of unreasonable. It's a stupid CBA. And I'm going to say this right now, Joe Braverman, at 11:51 at night, and everyone needs to remember this. This second apron is screwing the Celtics right now. Within the next 5 years, Orlando's going to get screwed. Oklahoma City's going to get screwed. Indiana's going to get screwed. So this thing that supposedly is meant to prevent dynasties and help teams, it's going to be punishing a bunch of smart teams. Celtics smartly built their team largely through guys they drafted. That's what Orlando's done. That's what Oklahoma City's done. That's what Indiana's done. Guys they either drafted or used draftable assets to trade for. It's going to screw all those teams. I think it's so stupid. But that's the next biggest question, is what level of payroll does Bill Chisholm tolerate? Because maybe he says, hey, trade one of Holiday and Porzingis, or trade Holiday and Hauser. Maybe he says get rid of all three. I don't know. That's the question, because over the last 2 years, the Celtics have had the best roster in the NBA, and it got them a championship and then second-round exit this year. But they did get a championship out of it. They will not have, I don't think, the best roster in the NBA next year. Even if Tatum comes back in February healthy, I don't expect them to have the best roster in the NBA, or at least not like they've had the last 2 years where they were just so much deeper than everyone else. So we'll see. You'll still have Tatum going forward, still have Brown, still probably have White. You'll still have other really good pieces. You just won't have the best roster in the NBA like you've had over the last 2 years. And look, you won a championship. That's the goal. Wish you could have won back-to-back.
I think that's, for me, why I'm not overly upset, is like, this team got the championship.
Right.
It would have been more disappointing if they went 0-2 rather than 1-2.
Yeah, and I think when we look at, they played bad, Porzingis disappeared, Tatum got hurt, I'm glad they got the championship last year, because this would have been really bad if they hadn't gotten one. But, well, I guess that's the end of Celtics playoff postgame for 2025. In 2024, I got to go all the way through mid-June. Maybe next year I'll get to go through June. Maybe the year after.
You can't
we'll
have everything, Joe.
Yes. So it's been a pleasure. Thanks to all that listened, called, texted. Thanks to Tom Crisafulli, who produced most of them. Thanks to Joe Braverman, who did a great job producing the Red Sox game tonight and then pinch hit over here to produce this show as well. Again, Celtics, sadly, eliminated. It's all over. I'll be back tomorrow morning, though, to break all this down with Megan Onalini at 9 a.m., so make sure you tune in then.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.